Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I'm Tim Healy. I'm inviting you to join me each and every Wednesday so you could be prepared to win the battle for business. That's right. Now, listen, I know you're out there hustling, you're closing deals, you're making money, you're turning prospects into profits. So I have to make it worth your while. That's why I have on the kind of guests that you can listen, learn, and earn from. Today's guest, no exception. So thanks for sharing some of your time with me today and being on board. Now, if you are a couch potato, and you know who you are, don't feel bad. There is hope for you. Today's guest is a self-proclaimed couch potato who not only got herself off the couch, she became an endurance athlete, she competed in triathlons, and she's written a book about it. That's incredible. Now, you know her, if you're a fan of the show, as Hillary Topper. She is the founder and the president of HJMT Public Relations. And she's been on the show many times in the past. She's talked about her two previous books. The first book, which was Everything You Ever Want to Know About Social Media But Were Afraid to Ask. And one of her more recent books on the topic was Branding in a Digital World. So today she's here to share her latest book on, I love the title. It's an incredible title. From Couch Potato to Endurance Athlete, a portrait of a non-athletic triathlete. Man, I can't wait to delve into that. And the one thing I really admire about Hillary, and I've known her and had the pleasure of knowing her for many, many years, and it was actually the very first time she and I had lunch was in a restaurant not too far from the studios here in Melville. You'll remember that. But she does a great job of combining her professional life and her personal life. She's an amazing personality. She's got a great presence on social media. And she's written this book, again, From Couch Potato to Endurance Athlete, based off of a blog that she had in the works called A Triathlete's Diary that she kept for the past 10 years. So again, for all you couch potatoes out there, there's hope. And for our in-studio couch potato, Hillary Topper, it's great to have you back. How are you?
Thank you so much for having me.
And I say couch potato, not insulting, but as a term of endearment. So you are the a self-proclaimed couch potato.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that it's more that I was a workaholic.
Okay. And, yeah, that I knew about you.
And that I just didn't do anything but work. That was all I did. And when I went home, I'd plop on the couch and watch TV.
But, you know, okay, so that's actually an important distinction to make because, you know, like so many of the listeners of the show, you know, they're business owners, they're executives, they're salespeople. They're working kind of crazy hours like you and I work. So it's almost inevitable that if you just did a 12-hour day and you get home, you have dinner, there ain't a whole lot of exercise going on. And so you have that evolution to the couch
potato.
There's
a lot of wine going on.
While on the couch, right. So it's certainly understandable, and a lot of us has been there. I think we've all been there at one point. But so let's go back, because the book is based off of the blog, A Triathlete's Diary, that you started very early on, and that blog has had a 10-year, it's still going, right?
It's still going strong.
But the book is based on it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's take the listeners back. You're a workaholic, you have your own business, you're out there. There was a life moment, maybe a defining life moment, just before you hit 50. What was that about?
I just felt like I was just working really hard. Mm-hmm. I was hustling for business, trying to feed my staff. I had about six people who were earning pretty decent money, and I needed to keep hustling out there to get them fed. And
a lot of pressure.
A lot of pressure. Right. I was going to cocktail parties every night, you know, lunch meetings, breakfast meetings, you name it. Right. I was there and I was just hustling and networking, and that's all I was doing.
Right.
You know, and I started to feel like I was getting fat and I was getting old. And I was thinking to myself, how did I get here?
This is
like the talking head. How did I get here?
But this, so you're not yet 50.
Not yet 50, but so, I was going to be 50 soon.
All right,
you're
right around the corner.
That's when I was like, you know, I need to make a change. I need to change my life. And what I would do is I would go to the Wantagh, but this is, you're going to think I'm nuts. I would go to the Wantagh Parkway and I would watch as the runners ran by.
Oh, that trail alongside. Yeah.
I would park my car and I'd just watch people run. And it just seems so cool. Like I wanted to do that. I wanted to be a runner.
Right.
I thought, oh, this is where I want to go. I want to start to run.
Okay. So you have a business, you're hustling, you're out there trying to make business, right? We all know what that's about. Then you have like the epiphany, and I'm quoting you, I'm not calling you this. You said, I'm feeling fat, I'm feeling old. So then you go to the Wantagh Parkway where there's, for those who don't know the Wantagh Parkway, there's that running trail, people do the running and cycling and all that. And you are just watching people exercise.
Exactly.
You figure you ease yourself into this.
Yeah.
I love it. So, but you saw enough where you're like, I think I want to try that.
I want to make a change. So I joined a gym.
Okay.
It was the first time in my entire life that I joined a gym. I never joined a gym before. And I walked in and I'm looking at this equipment and I'm thinking to myself, like, I don't know what this is, but, you know, I'll get there. And I remember I met with a trainer. I hired a personal trainer.
Good.
And I met with him and he said to me, well, you have to warm up. You should go warm up on the treadmill. Now, little did he know or anybody else know, I didn't even know how to turn on a treadmill. I had no clue.
Right.
So somebody had to teach me. I had to ask somebody, you know, hey, do you know how to turn this thing on? I mean, that's how.
So he just assumed.
Pathetic I was.
You go on the treadmill for 10 minutes. Right.
Yeah, go warm up. And I'm like, okay. And my first thing was to walk, and I walked on the treadmill. And, you know, then he taught me all the equipment.
Right.
And I started working out. And, you know, as I started progressing, I started to get a little faster on the treadmill.
Okay.
And I started to run a little bit. And then I ran a mile on the treadmill, right? It took a while, but I was able to run a mile.
Okay.
And I thought, wow, this is really cool. I could run a mile, you know?
Your
now
first,
let me try it outside.
First accomplishment.
Yeah. No.
Now, all right, but even before that, so you're approaching 50. Were you an athlete in high school or
no? Oh my God, I failed gym. I would cut gym.
How do you
gym.
Fail gym?
I would cut gym. I'm not kidding. I would cut gym. That was like the least favorite subject. I hated gym. I would hang out in the smoking lounge. We used to have smoking lounges back then. You know, I feel like I'm really dating myself.
I'm dating
over
a little
here.
Bit. Right,
but they
right.
had smoking lounges. I'd sit
right.
and I'd smoke cigarettes in the smoking lounge with my friends and. I would never, I mean, I came up with this scheme to get out of gym. I came up with this independent study so that I could pass high school, right?
And without having to participate in gym. Okay.
Exactly. I mean, there was no way. So I didn't run. I didn't swim. I didn't cycle. I mean, I cycled a little bit, but
right.
You know, on the boardwalk, a little. You know, my 3 miles an hour kind of thing.
Yeah, right. So then, not only did you not go to gym class, you were smoking cigarettes instead. Okay.
Yep.
Not great for a triathlete.
No.
So I love how this story evolves with you. So. You join the gym, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for all the couch potatoes listening, you know, not that they had to become triathletes, probably most of them won't, but, you know, go to the gym, go outside, walk something, right?
Something.
So you join the gym, you do your first mile, you kind of get gaining some confidence. When do you get into the point of, I'm going to go from, you know, doing my own little mile or so to, let me try a race?
Yeah. So what happened was I met this woman who at the time I met her through one of these like PTA kind of groups, you know, and she heard that I was trying to get into running. Now, she was a marathoner. Okay. So I was totally intimidated.
Right.
She was a gym teacher in high school. I mean, you know, it was like really?
Right.
You want to run with me? I don't even know if I can run a block. So we started to run together, and we did a little bit of run-walk. You know, maybe a little bit more walk than run.
All right.
But we started together.
You're out there. Okay.
And as we did that, she says to me, we should sign up for a half marathon. And I said to her, how can we sign up with a half marathon if I've never even done a 5K? So that was our first thing. Our first thing was to sign up for a 5K. And I did a local 5K in Oceanside.
All right.
And it was just a fiasco. I mean, the book talks about how funny it was, like from getting my first race number. I didn't even know what to do with the thing. You know, like you stick it on your clothes.
The bib,
like,
right,
what do you do with this?
Right.
You know, there was just so many funny things that happened at that particular event.
Do you remember your time for your first 5K?
I think it was like around 38 minutes or
38
something.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was, yeah. She wouldn't let me stop. She wouldn't let me. She ran with me the entire time and would not let me take a walk break, which was, I was like cursing her out. I was totally cursing. And then the second one was I did one in Long Beach, and it turned out my husband joined me, and that was a very interesting one. The race actually started before we were ready to start. I mean, the whole thing was a fiasco. And then she and I, this woman, we signed up for a half marathon in Disney. I was thinking, oh, come on, Disney, you know, it's a joke. I mean, Donald Duck, how seriously, like, you know, how hard is this going to be? I mean, this is going to be like stupid.
But it's still 13 miles in for the half marathon, right?
Yeah, I didn't really think that, you know.
So you were lulled into the Disney marathon. You thought this has to be easy, right? Come on, it's a Disney, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The happiest place on earth.
Yeah.
So you do a couple of 5Ks. Again, for the couch.
No,
potato.
I only did one. I only did one 5K and one 10K.
Oh, a 10K. Okay.
Yeah, before I signed up for this, you know, it turns out that I wasn't able to do it. We both got sick. We like the plane got delayed. By the time we got to Disney, we get to the hotel. They don't have a room. I mean, it's like a whole
thing. Fiasco.
Yeah, yeah. It was a whole thing. And we end up not doing the race. So I never did that first half with her, but my husband, as a fluke, decides he's gonna sign up for the New York City half marathon. And don't you know, he gets in. Now, he's not training, he doesn't know how to run. He's like, he just does this 10K with me, but he's not really.
So he's not a runner.
He was like me, like, you know, a couch potato, you know, like cutting gym in high. I mean, he was better than me. You know, I can't say that because he actually is somewhat athletic. She's definitely, you know, he played baseball, stuff like that. But
okay. So a little bit better, but
yeah, not, you know,
in adult
not
life, you know, more of the couch potato variety. So he decides to sign up. He gets into the New York City half.
So now I do. Now
so
I'm like,
both
well.
Both of you.
Now, well, I didn't. I had to do it with charity. So I signed up.
To get
up.
In, right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So that was that. And, you know, and the book takes you along to all these different races that I did. And every single race was an experience. I mean, they say, you know, like every race has a story. Boy, does every race have a story.
So, again, the book is from Couch Potato to Endurance Athlete. So you have these experiences. And just as you're telling the story with these experiences, I think it'd be fun to follow you around with the camera at these events. I think a lot of things happen. I'm just getting this sense. Following Hillary Topper with the camera would be good. That could be a good TV show. one thing, let me kind of get off the book for a moment, that I spoke about in the beginning. And you and I have spoken about it on previous shows that I've always admired about you. You were never afraid, because again, you're a business owner, public relations, right? Digital branding, et cetera. You've never been afraid to share who you are, your personality, the cowboy boots, all of that, obviously being a triathlete. And you've done a great job of kind of weaving it into business. And I gave you credit because I was always, you know, sales performance coach, buttoned up, blah, right? And I've been trying to do that. And, I, you know, I follow you on Instagram. And what's your handle on Instagram?
At Hillary Topper.
At Hillary Topper. And you've got some great numbers of people following you there. And, but, so here's my point. What is the benefit for the business person to share their personality?
You know, that's how people connect. When you meet somebody, you want to have some type of a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the business that I have today through my public relations business is through my journey through triathlon and running. You know, that people I've met along the way, CEOs that like to run, CEOs that are Ironman, you know, triathletes. I mean, so it's a connection. It's mm-hmm. a real connection. And when I do on Instagram, I mean, I feel like I'm very vulnerable and very real. And this book is very vulnerable and very real. It's a little scary to me because I do disclose things that I, you know, I would never, you know, 10 years ago even talk about.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. You got to read the book.
Hold on a second. So, again, in following you, and I've tried to learn lessons, and, you and I have had a lot of great conversations about, you know, you trying to help me on social. I'm still not nearly as good as you. I still, right? But I've seen some of the things you've done on social, and I really admired it. And like you said, it is authentic. It's not scripted. It's not like it's
not
picture
polished.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. You're just like you're Hillary at 2 o'clock on a Tuesday kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you've written the book again. I love the title, From Couch Potato to Endurance Athlete, and it's coming out on. It'll be available for sale when?
August 1st. But it is on pre-sale right now.
Okay, so you can pre-order now.
Yes.
At where?
Barnes and Noble. And Amazon.
Okay.
Or you could go to my publisher's, you know, webpage, and it's Meyer and Meyer Sports.
Right, right.
But you're better off just going to Barnes and Noble Amazon, and it's on UK and USA sites.
So now you decided to be in this book more vulnerable, more open, more candid than you've ever been.
You know, wait a second. I just want to blame somebody here. I blame Lisa Gordon because when she read this book, she says to me, "You've gone through such horrible things with these triathlons and running events. They all seem horrible. What is your why here? Why do you keep doing this? It's just terrible."
Wow. Now Lisa's been with you for...
Oh, like 15 plus years.
Okay, yeah. Right. So she's obviously, you know, a key member of your team. She reads the book, why are you doing it? So what's your answer?
So what do I say to her? So I'm thinking and I'm digging deep and I'm going to therapy.
Really?
And I'm like, you know... It's that people throughout my whole life said to me, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to do anything. You can't. I've had that happen to me more times in my life that, you know, people said to me, you know, you're never going to go to college. You're never going to go to grad school. You're never going to start a business because, you know, you don't have that in you, right? People have said that to me. And my drive is if somebody says to me I can't do something, I go out there and I work twice, three times, four times as hard, and I do it and I get it done. So those people who have said to me, you're not athletic. How could you do this? That's me. I will go. And so if you ever say to me, you're not going to do that, I'm going to do it. A good example, my daughter.
Well, you're not going to give me a free copy of the book signed, okay? Just so you know. Go ahead.
So a good example. So when my daughter was young, mm-hmm. she wanted to climb the monkey bars, right? And she couldn't do it. And every single day she would go out there and try to do, and every day she'd fail. And then one day, like, it took about a month or so, she was able to do it.
Right.
And that's just, you know, comparison to my life. Like, everything that I've done in my life, I had to work so hard to do, to get to.
So
it
she
was
got
always, you know, trying to cross the finish line. And that's what the book's about. It's about people. If when people say to you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you're too poor, you're too fat, you're too old, you're too this. No, you can. You do it. You know, and that's what's, and I think that's how it relates to business too. It's like, you know, my parents were working class people. You know, my father was a mechanic for the city of Long Beach. He also had a little side business where he cleaned floors in stores like this.
Right.
You know, or my mom, she was a secretary at the Nassau County, you know, clerk's department. I mean,
working class people. Right.
And so I don't come from an entrepreneurial background, right? So when I said, I really want to start my own business, it was like, how are you going to do that? You're not even, you don't have money, you don't have this, you don't have that, you can't do this. And I worked my way through it.
So your daughter with the monkey bar experience, she obviously has part of your DNA and determination, which is great. But now, okay, so Lisa Gordon, who's been a key member of your team for 15 years, she reads the book. She knows you intimately well, obviously. She goes, why? And then, so was it her question where the truth came to the surface?
Absolutely. It was to me when she started asking me these probing questions as she's reading the book. I'm realizing, you know, that everything that I've done in my life had to be from me. You know, I never had any kind of external encouragement. Like my parents didn't want me to go to college. They didn't have money. They didn't want me to go to college. I was a girl. I don't need to go to college. I could be a secretary. You know, it was like that.
So the naysayers, was family.
Yeah.
Mom and dad.
Teachers. Oh, teachers in high school?
Really?
Oof. The worst. I went to Long Beach High School, and I had my kids in Long Beach High School, but when I was there, I did not like it, and I was always put down. You know, I was never picked up. That's why with me, like when I teach at Hofstra, I go the opposite direction. I always try to pick up my students, and make them feel good about themselves.
Right.
Because there's just way too many people who are saying negative things to you about, you know, yourself and who you are. You know, so that's what the book is really about. And it really digs deep about, you know, into that whole thing. You know, so there's so many different layers of it. And yeah.
It's clearly a book about your experience being a triathlete, obviously. But in a way, it's so much more than that.
So much more than that. And that's why the book would appeal to anyone who's in business, who's, you know, anyone. Because if you were ever brought down in your life by any person, a bully, or whatever, it sticks with you.
But it's often the people closest to us. Like you said, your parents.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it could be a sibling. It could be an aunt and uncle. You know, a teacher who's supposed to be uplifting, and they're quite the opposite.
Absolutely.
I can't stand that, by the way. Those guidance counselors who
Terrible.
Tell you, oh.
You can't go to college.
Yeah. They said that to
You're not good enough.
They said that to my wife. Oh, don't stall me on that.
You know.
So.
And that's why I got my master's degree.
Just to prove, to all you idiots out there, to you, let me show you. I have my master's as well. So you said, and you just started to share, you know, a side of Hillary that 5 or 10 years ago you wouldn't have shared, right?
No, never.
Okay. What you got to give the listener, it's a tease for them to buy the book, obviously. What is the one, give us one thing, maybe not the thing, but one thing that you shared in the book that you wouldn't have shared 10 years ago?
That's a very hard question. I'd talk about, you know, and without getting into the whole story.
Yeah, it's just
I do talk a little bit about, I had a bit of an abusive upbringing.
Okay.
And I do talk about that I would never normally talk about. You know, I also talk about how, you know, this whole thing. I mean, my sister passed away about 4 years ago, and it was a horrible, horrible death that she had. She had an aneurysm and a stroke, and it was like a, you know, one day she's fine, and the next day she's, you know, in a coma.
And you were very close with your sister.
Very close. Yeah. We were best friends.
Right.
And she, you know, so that whole story also unravels in the book, and you get to understand more about my background through that, you know, through that whole situation of her laying there for a month in a coma and, you know, us having to make that terrible decision on whether or not she should live or die. You know, it was just, the whole thing was horrible. See a lot of, and you'll hear about my business. You know, you'll see how my business went up to an amazing level of accomplishment and achievement, and then went down, and then went up, and then went down. And I talk a lot about that as well, you know, so you get that sense, if you're a business person, to see that, you know what, when things are going so well, they can crash.
Oh, yeah.
They can crash.
Right.
And unfortunately, I experienced that a few times.
As do so many business owners. You know, there's always, we know how those graphs go. They go up and down. They, you know, they rarely remain, right. So let's talk about for a second. Because I think what makes your story so relatable, and then the book, which I know is going to be a great read, I had a little bit of a sneak peek into it, is that you're a regular person. You know, it's not like you were, you know, in the Olympics or a college athlete, you know, but you're a regular person.
Right.
And in so being that regular person, you're talking to a lot of people. Okay. Now, whether they end up being the triathlete or they're a business owner or not. And again, that's an element of the book that I didn't know that I find fascinating, that you really chose to be vulnerable in this and tell some very, very interesting stories. So because I haven't written a book, right? I don't know the process. Did you decide to include those stories? Was it the publisher who encouraged you? What was the decision? Because you don't have to share those kinds of stories, obviously.
No, you don't have to. I mean, it could have just been a book about my races and going from one race to the next.
Because you had 10 years of a blog to write about, so you had plenty of material.
And the thing that really, like, spurred the whole book, I mean, there were two things, actually. I've always had this book in my head. And I don't know, you know, Dan Schaefer was probably one of my, you know, motivators to do this because he had said to me, well, you know, just take, if you want to do a book about triathlon and business, just put stickies all over your, and one day I'm putting stickies all over my office, right?
Dr. Dan, yeah.
I love Dan, right? But that didn't work. What worked was when my SEO guy said to me, Hillary, you got so much content on this blog, A Triathlete's Diary.
Right.
He says, you got to remove some of this stuff. It's ridiculous. You got too much on here. So I start going back to 2009, 2010, 2011, and I'm pulling out all the stories. And as I'm pulling out all the stories, I'm putting it into a book, and the next thing I know, I have 300 pages, and I call up Lisa. I'm like, oh my God, I have a book here. This is my book. And then once that was done, then it was a series of Lisa reading it and my friend Madeline reading it and a couple of other people reading it, my sister-in-law, Andrea. I mean, I wanted people who were not triathletes to read it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And as they were reading it, they were like, well, I don't understand. How did this happen? Where were you at? What was going on in your life during this period? And that's how it all evolved.
Oh,
sorry.
You're good. You're good.
And that's how it all evolved. I talk with my hands
that's
a lot.
Okay. hey, listen, we're from New York. This is what we do. So then as these people reading the book, the friends, the family members, like, were they kind of telling you there's an element missing as far as filling in?
They felt like there was, you know, like I needed to dig deeper and really delve more into my personal life, into my...
What was going on?
Yeah,
like you said,
what was going
your
on?
Sister, your mom, right, all these things.
This whole thing.
Wow.
You know, why I ended up doing this, you know, and that type of thing.
Let's get back to racing for a moment. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm, you know, me, I climbed Mount Washington successfully for the first time last year. You and I chatted about that. I also do like to run. Not to your level, of course. So which race was the absolute most grueling race for you, and what did you take away from it?
I've had so many. I've got to say that it was maybe one of my favorites, yet most grueling race was probably when I did the New York City Triathlon.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you have to jump into the Hudson River. You have to climb massive hills on the Henry Hudson Parkway.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty massive there. And you have to run in 90-degree weather through Central Park for, you know, your 6.2. So it was a...
It was 90 degrees that day?
It was 90 degrees.
That is brutal.
It was brutal. So... The thing about that race was it was early on in my triathlon journey.
Right.
And I was so scared about jumping in the Hudson River. What am I going to find? What's going to be in there?
Yeah, I know.
And actually, when I was standing there with my friend, I'm looking over the edge, and there were condoms.
Oh, God.
Dead fish. I mean, it was nasty, okay? And I was...
Wow.
And so, anyway, so I got together with one of my work friends.
Right.
Her name is Joan. And Joan was a marketing director of a big food service company on Long Island. And Joan said to me, Hillary, let's think about this. She says, you always jump in dirty water, and you always climb hills. And I looked at her, like, at first I was like, what? And then I was like, she's right. I do at work. I jump in. I climb right. hills. This is what I do at work. I just do it, right? I don't think about it.
Right.
I just do it, right? And that, I think, was one of the major turning points. You know, I mean, there was lots of turning
right,
points
yeah,
in the
yeah,
book,
yeah.
but
yeah, yeah.
that was a big one.
That was
you know,
a great analogy.
Me. Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, when she said that to me, I was like, you know, she's right. I mean, every time I go out and I train and I do these events,
right.
it scares the piss out of me. It's always scary.
Now, there's something in the book that I found very interesting. And I ran a half marathon like 2013 as a fundraiser for my kids' school. And I, as you know, I performed horribly. And I was like, the police were in the back with the lights. I think I was ahead of two or three people. I was cramping. It was just embarrassing, mm-hmm. right? My son at the time, who was like five, thought I died, right? Where's daddy? Where's daddy? God. So let me, in the book you mention, it's a phrase, I think I have it right, people who race, who compete, they're called back of the packers.
Mm-hmm.
Who are those people?
Well, I'm including in that group. That's a group of people who work out so hard.
Right.
Yet they come in at the end of the pack. They
right.
come in last.
Right.
They come in after the water stops. They're already gone. People
right.
have already packed up and have gone
right.
home.
Yeah.
But these are people who go out there and make sure they get it done. They make sure that they cross that finish line no matter what. And to me, mm-hmm. that group is such a powerful group, and I dedicate the book to that group.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, I dedicate. Yeah, because it, to me, it takes them 8 hours to do, 8+ hours to do a half Ironman event, or 17 and a half hours. They just make the finish.
They just get in before the cutoff.
And
right.
sometimes they don't make the
right.
cutoff, but they finish anyway.
Right. They cross the finish line. Right.
You know, it's like those people at the New York City Marathon who do the marathon and come in at like 9 hours. You know, everybody's already gone home.
Oh, yeah. They're having dinner.
Know, they're having
yeah.
dinner.
Right.
I mean, that happened to me at the New York City Marathon, where I was coming off the Queensboro Bridge, and you know, during the whole expo, they're like, oh, you're going to hear all the crowds. Everybody's going to be screaming.
The cheering. Right.
Everybody's going to be screaming, right?
Right.
We come off the 59th Street Bridge, and there's like a lull. There's nobody was there.
Where'd
I
they
mean,
go?
A couple
yeah.
of people, but
right, right.
You know, nobody was there. There was, you know, the water stops. They stop. The water stops.
Oh God! They even take away the free little cups of water.
Yeah, free stupid cups of water. They take away. I mean, it's not. Or you know, we just did this race. You know, this was another race that's in the book where about six or seven of my running group, we decide we're going to do a 50 mile race.
Right.
Right? It's a big Long Island race where they
right.
and we did a relay. And each one of us did 6 miles. You know, and you know, I really felt like, you know, I started off good, but you know, eventually everybody kind of slowed down and whatever. And then we get the fastest people at the end. Well, the fastest people now experience this back of the packer thing. And by the time the last woman was coming in, everybody was going home from the party. They're shutting down the, you know, they're taking the
right,
finish line
right,
out.
Right, right.
You know, Terry's packing up. I mean, I'm like, Terry, please, you got to announce this winner. I mean, we've all been working so
right.
hard. And, you know, he was gracious and he actually stayed around and you know, welcomed her
sure,
in.
Sure.
But it was rough, you know, just knowing that everybody went home by the time we were finished, you know?
So, and so the book comes like full circle here.
It's totally.
And again, it's with Hillary Topper, the book From Couch Potato to Endurance Athlete. It's a chronicle of a non-athletic triathlete.
A portrait of a non-athletic triathlete.
Which I love, by the way. That is classic. excellent title and subtitle. So you have the elite athletes who they're like gazelles and, you know, they do their thing. But as I'm just hearing the story, and I could go for another hour hearing stories with you on this, but it's the back of the packers, which you've dedicated the book to, who are the average Joes and Janes, who are probably not the athletes. But there's one thing, and it goes back to what you said about Hillary. All those people said, you're not going to college, you're not going to get a master's, you're not going to have a business, you're not going to do the marathon.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a lot of people who are back of the pack heard similar things.
Oh, I'm sure.
Right?
I would assume so.
Yeah. And I think them, because I'm certainly a lot closer to the back of the pack than the elites, I'll tell you that. And I've been at the back of the pack on a couple of races. I can just imagine what that means to somebody, the back of the pack, to finish the 5K,
it's
whatever the race
an
is.
An amazing accomplishment.
How emotionally charging that is.
amazing accomplishment. And when you cross that finish line, it is like crossing the finish line with a sale or with a job,
you know?
It's that same feeling where you just feel so incredibly good.
All right, last question for you. Because now you've had your own business for how many years?
30.
Oh, my God. Okay, 30 years. Okay, so you're a pro. You've been doing endurance running for these endurance events for how long now? 10?
No, it started in, it's been about 11-something
okay.
years.
Okay, right, so 11 years. Has being an endurance athlete made you a better business owner? If so, how?
Oh, without a doubt.
How?
Because you need to focus when you are an endurance athlete. Mm-hmm. When you're swimming from Bayshore to Fire Island.
I remember that one, yeah.
And those waves are really, really rough. You need to be focused and on. When you're in business and you want to succeed, you need to be focused. You need to be just see that finish line because that's how you can cross it. You need to be focused and be able to,
Yeah, because again, the analogy, if it's not waves taking you off course, it's other distractions, it's other obstacles, it's
always
other hurdles.
There's focus. So many hurdles and obstacles that come your way when you're a business owner.
Yeah, and sometimes they're a little more under the surface, harder to find than when you're out running a race. The guest, Hillary Topper, the self-proclaimed couch potato no more, triathlete, endurance athlete, author of the brand new book coming out, From Couch Potato to Endurance Athlete. Pre-sale Amazon, pre-sale Barnes & Noble, right? Mm-hmm. I'm waiting for a nice signed copy, okay? A Sharpie. I'd like a Sharpie, okay?
I also have those book tours coming up.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, just
tell us a little bit about that.
Real quick.
Yeah.
I'm going to be doing my first book tour is in Boca Raton, Florida. And then after that, I'm doing my first Long Island appearance here in the Barnes & Nobles on Carl Place.
Am I going to be invited?
Of course.
Okay, make sure.
I'm also going to be at the Runner's Edge. They graciously accepted, they wanted me to be there, which was great. And I do mention them in the book.
They're a great shop. Yeah. Absolutely.
And then I've got a bunch of other tours. I'm going to be in Nashville. I'm going to be in Denver, Boulder, Austin, Detroit.
Oh my gosh! Look at you're a rock star wearing
places.
That Detroit that Nashville Gibson jacket. I love it. Fantastic.
I just need a guitar.
Thanks so much for being on board.
Thank you so much for having me.
You got it. And this is the Profit Express. And remember to listen and download to new episodes every Wednesday, like a great one that I just had with Hillary Topper from self-proclaimed couch potato to endurance athlete. Watch out for her book coming out. And again, you can get early pre-order sales out there right now, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. Follow the show. Follow me on Twitter at Profit_Express. Let me just go through the handles. Of course, we have Instagram at The Profit Express, YouTube, like, subscribe, hit bells, all those things, right? And also special thanks to some of our biggest fans, our supporters, like Corbett Public Relations, supporting and promoting businesses and brands for over 30 years. Please visit them at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Until next time, let's continue to win the battle for business.